He changes us, amen, and sets us up upon a rock. David was so right to say, he lifted me out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. I have no desire to go back to that horrible pit. No desire to get stuck in that miry clay of sin again. Established upon that rock. Praise God. Stand with me as we turn to the word of the Lord again. Deuteronomy chapter 5. Book of Deuteronomy in the Old Testament, 5, verse 29. Praise God. I'd like for you to read with me out loud this verse. You ready? Oh, that there were such an heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. Praise God. Is there an exclamation point on the end of that? Who's saying this? Who's making this exclamation? Our God is reaching out for you. And wants you to have such a heart that there's going to be powerful action that will follow. Amen. Do you have such a heart? Praise God. Easy to do things on the surface. Easy to make appearances. But what about your heart? Amen. You may be seated. The phrase, a man after God's own heart, was applied to David. David was to be anointed by Samuel, the prophet, and when Samuel came to the household of Jesse, he requested that each of the sons come before Samuel. And Samuel, looking at the young men, saw leadership qualities, he saw strength, he saw abilities, and he felt within himself, surely this is the one God is going to anoint. But all seven went by without the Lord giving him the instruction to anoint. And he explained, you're looking on the outward appearance. And the Lord declared, I can see their hearts. Now, not that there was anything wrong with them, not that there was anything that would need to be corrected necessarily, but they didn't exactly have the quality that God was looking for in their hearts. And Samuel asked, is there someone else? Is there another son? And when Jesse explained, yes, there's one, he's out here keeping the sheep, Samuel declared, get him. Bring him here. And I like the way he made the commitment, we will not sit down until he come hither. Praise God. And I think that's a good commitment for us to make when we're waiting for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to appear from heaven. We're not going to sit down until he comes. We're not going to seek the place of convenience. We're not going to allow ourselves just to get comfortable and feel like this is where we belong. No, we're going to a better home. We're going to a better place. Praise God. And our King is coming to take us there. We're not going to sit down until he comes. Praise God. Now, they describe David as being the youngest. He's keeping the sheep. He has a ruddy complexion. He's a handsome young man, a beautiful countenance. And all of the things perhaps that Samuel was not looking for. And yet the Lord said, that's who I've chosen. Because there were spiritual values that David possessed. When he was anointed by Samuel, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. Amen. Maybe those other brothers were not so malleable. They weren't so moldable. They weren't so easily formed and shaped like David allowed his heart to be. And generations later, in Acts chapter 13, Paul would give a short history of Israel, and he would include this statement. When the Lord said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Praise God. God's intention being fulfilled. God's desire being worked out through that individual. Saul, being the king, misunderstood the whole value and importance of obedience. His disobedience disqualified him from being able to lead the people of Israel, though he had a lot of outward qualities of leadership, though he had appearances as though he could get the job done. But he learned the lesson too late. To obey is better than sacrifice. To listen is better than the sacrifice of rams. And Samuel would have to give him the message. Now thy kingdom shall not continue. You're not going to continue to be king. There's someone else who is being selected. The Lord has sought him a man after his own heart. And the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people. Because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee. So God's desire, such a heart, to follow him, to keep all his commandments, always. That's what the Lord would desire, to do the work of God's heart and identify with him. When Samuel was born, Eli was the prophet, or rather the priest, and the man of God came and spoke to Eli. His sons were not doing right, and judgment was spoken against them. And Samuel received the message that the Lord would raise up a faithful priest that shall do according to all that is in his heart and in his mind. Praise God. That's got to be the focus. It may seem like we have a good way. We have a profitable way. We have a way that would seem to be pleasing unto the Lord. But when the Bible warns us, there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. That's where we've got to be cautious. That's where we've got to be careful and make sure we're following God's way, his word, his will. Amen. Jeremiah records the words of the Lord. I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. The problem in today's society, the problem in today's culture, is people seek pastors after their heart and after their preference and after their understanding and not with what God would desire. Amen. Such a heart. You know, that's admired in many ways. Such a heart. In athletics and in sports, people who run marathons. You know, we remember that marathon runner who after the winner crossed the finish line an hour before, here he comes stumbling and bloody into the stadium, and he makes the final lap and he finishes the marathon, and the reporters would ask him afterwards, why didn't you give up? You fell, you were injured, severely injured, blood loss, and yet you came running into the marathon with no hope of being on the winner's stand, no hope of receiving a medal. And the marathon runner explained, my country did not send me to start the race. My country sent me to finish the race. And so he did. An hour after the first place runner. Such a heart. And music and arts, we admire someone who spend hours practicing and working and so on. Such a heart. God is looking for people to serve him with such a heart. That's what God admires. That's what God desires, with such a heart that they're not going to stop. They're not going to give up. They're going to push. They're going to disciple themselves. They're going to be disciplined, amen, and desire to obey his commands, all of his commandments, always. The Lord condemned hypocrisy that was demonstrated in lip service. In Mark 7 and 6, he quotes from the book of Isaiah and makes reference of it and says, "Well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it's written, the people honor me with their lips, but here's the problem, their heart is far from me." Not a great distance between lips and heart, but the Lord designated that there can be that kind of distance, there can be that kind of problem that it results in hypocrisy. He's referring to Isaiah 29 and 13. I'm glad he made sure the word of God was explained to us and how that heart trouble can bring on hypocrisy. Not heart trouble in the sense of the physical, but certainly in the sense of the spiritual. Keep his commandments. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Amen. What an important commandment. What an important understanding. I read, as you were teaching on the Lord's Prayer, I read over there where it said, no man can serve two masters. There's one God, and we serve him. Amen. Society today makes so many gods out of different things, athletes and in sports and material things and on and on. There's just so many others that would pull away devotion and commitment to the Lord. But the Lord would declare, love the Lord thy God with all thine heart. Serve him with all your heart, Deuteronomy 10 and 12 declares. Now, Israel, what doth the Lord require of thee? But to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord thy God with all your heart and all your soul. It's easy to read those words, but it's a whole nother thing to say, I'm going to do that with all my heart. With all my soul, I'm going to love him. I'm going to serve him. I'm going to walk in his ways. Praise God. Jesus repeated the command of that relationship in his teaching. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. He called this the first and great commandment. Praise God. And love is a tremendous motivation to obey. We love to obey him, love to keep his commandments. The Lord said it this way in Deuteronomy 5 and 10, showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Praise God. And this was again spoken to Moses in Exodus 20 and 6 when he was telling the people of the Ten Commandments, thousands that can love him, thousands that can obey him, and God's mercy being extended to them, his mercy never being depleted, never being extinguished, never running out. Praise God. The wonderful redundancy of Psalm 136, where every verse ends the same way. Every verse repeats the same phrase over and over. His mercy endureth forever. Praise God. Oh, I'm thankful that the Lord has mercy that endures forever. It takes care of my mess, and it takes care of a whole mess of sinners. Thank God that his mercy endureth forever. Now, to obey him is proof of my love for him. Amen. Jesus said it, John 14 and 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Amen. Same thing that the Lord said in Deuteronomy 5 and 10. Love me, keep my commandments. Praise God. And we recognize, okay, that's a very simple formula for having that relationship with the Lord, for responding with a heart that will say yes to the Lord. The Lord asked a lot of questions. The Lord asked very penetrating questions, very purposeful questions. And one question that he asked in Luke 6:46 is important today. Why call ye me Lord, Lord? Thank God we can call him Lord. Amen. And he's got to be Lord of all, or he is not Lord at all. Yeah. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? You call me Lord, but you don't obey me. What an important question. What an important determination that we make in our hearts and our lives today. Praise God. To keep his commandments always and all ways. Praise God. Not impossible to obey him. The Bible says that Noah did all that God commanded him. Faith and obedience was shown in Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, on down the line. All of those who followed the Lord. Many things cause grief today. A detrimental report on your physical checkup, that can cause grief. You break the laws and you get caught, that can cause grief. You get a letter from the Internal Revenue Service right about now, and oh my, your heart rate speeds up. And you hope there's a refund in there and not a correction on your income tax filing. Lots of things can cause grief, but not obeying the Lord. Not obeying his word. Amen. 1 John 5:3, this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. Okay, we've heard that. That's been said many times. But John goes on to say, his commandments are not grievous. It's not going to cause you grief. It's not going to bring heartache to you. Not going to cause you to regret. No, thank God. We can do what his word declares. And we choose to do as much as we can, not as little to get by. Amen. Obeying him. Here's why. Remember the verse we read. That it may be well with them. It can be well. Good choices have good consequences. That's why the Lord is crying out here, oh, that there were such a heart in them. He wants things to be well with you. He wants things to be well. Praise God. I'm thankful a man cries out to God with many a woe and an oh. Job said, oh, that I knew where I might find him. Oh, that I might find him. David, the Psalms are filled with those kinds of cries. Oh, Lord, keep not silence. Oh, Lord, be not far from me. He's reaching out. Forget not all of the Lord's benefits. Bless the Lord, oh, my soul. That the Psalms are full of those. But hear God crying out to you. Oh, that there were a heart in them. Such a heart in them. Praise God. Heed God's cry. I like how the psalmist in Psalm 27:8 responds to the Lord. When thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Not if I don't know if I can squeeze it in here. I don't know if I've got time. I've got so many things I need to take care of. So many things I've got to tend to. I've got this. I've got that. Seeking your face, Lord, I'll try to. No, David said, my heart said, Lord, your face I will seek. Praise God. A heartfelt response. A heartful response. Praise God. Because God wants it to be well with you. Obedience brings blessing. Jesus told the man born blind, go and wash in the pool of Siloam. I don't know where they were standing when this encounter took place. I don't know if they were outside his home, if they were by the well, or if they were by the market where water was easily available. But he told him, go wash in the pool of Siloam. And he went, whether or not the way was familiar. Remember, he's blind. He's got to count his steps. He's got to listen carefully to the sounds of where he is. He's got to feel for the corner of the street and make his way to that pool. But he went. And he washed. And what happened? He could see for the first time in his life. Obedience brings blessing. He told the lepers, 10 of them, go show yourselves unto the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. They didn't even get to the priest. They didn't even make it to the point where the priest would examine them and declare them to be cleansed of their disease, of their leprosy. As they went, they were cleansed. God loves obedience and blesses it. One came back and gave thanks, and he received an even greater blessing. Praise God. At the tomb of Lazarus, the Lord told them, take ye away the stone. They had objections, and rightly so. But oh, listen to this. The Lord will take away a stony heart. Praise God. Ezekiel wrote what the Lord said, a new heart also will I give you. A new spirit will I put within you. I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. Oh, how important it is to let him take away and to give. Praise God. Some people just want the Lord to add. They don't want to subtract. Lord, I want your blessings. I want your help. I want your spirit. I want your touch. But I want to hold on to this, and I want to hold on to that too. I know it's wrong. I know I should stop doing it, but I want to hang on to it anyway. You get a greater blessing by obeying. Yes. Amen. Thank God he can deal with heart trouble. Yeah. The Bible says in Jeremiah 17 and 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Lord goes on to say, I, the Lord, try the reins. I try the heart. He knows it. And he can make a difference. He can give a heart that will be obedient, because Ezekiel goes on to tell what the Lord will do in verse 27. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. Yes. Praise God. To walk in, to keep, and to do the word of God. That's what the Lord desires, a heart to do that. Not only be well with you, but it'll be well with your children. Again, Samuel, his mother sought God for him. He was dedicated and devoted to God's service. Samuel ministered before the Lord, and the Bible designates him being a child. Praise God. I'm thankful children can respond to the Lord. I'm thankful adolescents can respond to the Lord. Praise God. And a reminder to children is very important. When your son asks, in Deuteronomy 6, it continues, what mean the testimonies? What mean these statutes? What mean these judgments which God commands? What's it all about anyway? Moses said, you're going to tell your sons. You're going to tell your children. We were slaves in Egypt, but the Lord brought us out with a mighty hand. Praise God. We didn't have an answer. We didn't have a way, but the Lord made a way. We didn't have liberty. We didn't have freedom, but the Lord spoke to us and showed signs and wonders. He brought us out so that he could bring us in. Thank God. Again, there's a subtraction before there's an addition. Oh, God, help us to have a heart that says, Lord, I'm willing to make any change that you command in me. I'm willing to make any difference that you desire in my life, because I want your power. I want your blessing. I want your strength. I want your presence. Praise God. And it's worth the trade. It's worth the exchange. Praise God. The promise to your children. Thank God they can be baptized in Jesus' name after they repent. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, the Bible says, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Thank God. They can have that experience as well. Amen. Because the promise is unto you and to your children. Oh, hallelujah. Thank God for the power of the Lord. Thank God for children that responded. I think about Joseph being 17 years old, the second youngest of 12 brothers. He maintained his identity of being a Hebrew in Egypt. He kept his integrity as well as his identity. Praise God. An effective adolescent. The little maid who was the a servant of Naaman's wife. Naaman being a captain in the Syrian army, a man of honor, a man of valor, but he was a leper. That little maid gave testimony about a prophet in Israel named Elisha who could do the work of healing for Naaman. What an incredible testimony. Probably just a few words in the kitchen area of the house of Captain Naaman. Probably just bringing a jar of water from the well and making that statement. Probably just bringing the bread out of the oven. I don't know what she was doing when she said, oh, there's a prophet in Israel named Elisha who could do something about that leprosy. The maid and her witness. Praise God. They recognized her still as being from the land of Israel. She didn't assimilate into the Syrian culture. She didn't fit right in. No, they still recognized her as being a Hebrew. Yeah. Oh, God, help us not to be ashamed of being God's people. Amen. And let the pressure of this world change us and make us fit in and make us dress and act and talk like all the rest of the crowd, all the rest of the culture. No, I'm serving God. I'm serving the Lord. I'm obeying His word. I'm following through on what His word declares. Praise God. That little maid, that man Joseph, all by themselves in a culture that was totally against them. But they stood. You know why? They had a heart that was desiring God. Amen. Not popularity, not fitting in, not going along. They had a heart that desired God. Amen. And of course, Naaman was healed. He went to the prophet. He obeyed. He dipped in the Jordan 7 times. And his skin became like a little child's. Praise God. God can use the words and the witness of all of these children, all of these youth. Yes, He can. Praise God. That it can be well with them and their children forever. You know what's sad? What's sad is when parents decide, not that important to obey God, not that important to be faithful to Him, not that important to follow His word. And their little children have to follow in that decision. They can't make that decision. They can't make that choice. They have to go with mom and dad who decide, not that important, not that great a priority. I don't have to obey the old Bible and irrelevant words that don't fit in the 21st century. I'm going to do something else. Those little children lose that time, lose those years. God help us to always make the right choice as moms and dads. God help us to always follow the word of the Lord, and let our children come along, because God's desire is for it to be forever. That's where He lives. We're creatures of time. I've been preaching for almost a half an hour. I've got just a little bit more to go. Hang on with me here. But God lives in eternity. I said, what do you mean time? What do you mean talking about being constrained by time? Thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. He says, I dwell in the high and holy place. Praise God. With him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Oh, what an incredible revival that can happen in your heart. When you're humble, when you're contrite, when you're recognizing, God, I need you more than I need a paycheck. God, I need you more than I need a clean health report. God, I need you more than I need a meal on my table and a car to drive and clothes to wear. God, I need you. Hallelujah. And God, who inhabits eternity, looks down where you are and recognizes your situation and your circumstances and says, I am going to work on their behalf. I am going to honor their prayer. I am going to reach out and touch their bodies and heal their hearts and minister to their minds. Praise God. The high and lofty one, whose name is holy, can do that work for us. Even though he dwells in eternity, he'll come to us who are creatures of time. Praise God. Psalm 90 and 2, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Praise God. His mercy is forever. From everlasting to everlasting. Praise God. I'll be redundant again. Thank God for the redundancy of Psalm 136. His mercy endureth forever. Praise God. And he wants us to dwell with him forever. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions, and I go to prepare a place for you. Praise God. And if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Praise God. Oh, what an incredible offer. What an incredible promise. He can make things well with you and your children forever. Praise God. And that's why he said, both at the beginning of that chapter and towards the end, let not your heart be troubled. Oh, that there were such a heart in them. Praise God. Stand with me now, please. David would make the prayer. A man after God's own heart, yes, but he made mistakes. He made wrong choices. Poor decisions. But his heart still hungered for the Lord. And when the man of God came and convicted him of the wrong that he had done, the adultery he had committed, he called upon the Lord. And in his prayer, he recognized that the God who created everything can again do a work in his life. And so his prayer was, and Psalm 51 records it, create in me a clean heart. Oh God. There's that heartfelt desire. There's that heartfelt prayer. Create in me a clean heart, O God. I wonder if that's our prayer today. I would need a clean heart, Lord. Don't cast me away from your presence. Don't keep your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of thy salvation. Praise God. Beautiful prayer, because he was a man after God's own heart. And I pray that that's the heart response that we're going to give to the Lord today. Not just going through the motions, not just following the routine that we have become accustomed to, but our heart reaching, oh God, I need you. Oh God, I want you. Lord, help me to obey your word. Lord, help me to walk in your statutes. Help me to keep your judgments. Help me to do all your commandments. Praise God. Not just with lip service, just saying it. No, with such a heart that reaches out to the Lord. Praise God. Can we come to a place of prayer here today?